G'day everyone, this is B. Jemine, aka The Terrible Aussie, and welcome to my audio review of the sci-fi horror film Color Out of Space, which is based on the short story The Color Out of Space by H.P. Lovecraft. And the film is directed by Richard Stanley, and it stars Nicolas Cage, Jolly Richardson, Madeline Arthur, Brendan Meyer, Julian Hilliard, Elliot Knight, Koryanka Kilcher, and Tommy Chong. And the plot summary for this film, which I am reading off IMDb, is as follows. After a meteorite lands in the front yard of their farm, Nathan Gardner, Nicolas Cage, and his family find themselves battling a mutant extraterrestrial organism as it infects their minds and bodies, transforming their quiet rural life into a Technicolor nightmare. Now, even though I haven't read any of H.P. Lovecraft's stories or novels, I've seen quite a number of his film and TV adaptations over the years. Probably most notable, of course, would definitely be the 1985 horror comedy Reanimator, which is directed by Stuart Gordon. That's probably without a doubt the most famous and most beloved adaptation of Lovecraft's work, but there have been quite other ones over the years as well for both film and TV, and funnily enough, quite a number of them were also directed by Reanimator director Stuart Gordon, like From Beyond, Dagon, and also the Masters of Horror episode Dreams of the Witch House. So even though he is without a doubt one of the most popular and influential horror and science fiction writers of all time, it's only really every now and again we do get a big screen or TV adaptation of Lovecraft's work, compared to like someone like Stephen King, who can have so many different projects get announced on a weekly basis, as it seems. But when a film version of a Lovecraft story is announced, it's always grabs everyone's attention. And Color Out of Space is definitely, without a doubt, no exception. And of course, what makes this film really interesting, of course, is that this is the long-awaited feature-length film return of director Richard Stanley. Now, Richard Stanley is a filmmaker who made it big back in 1990 with his sci-fi horror film Hardware, and then he followed that up with another horror film in 1992 called Dust Devil. And after that, he was originally going to be the director of the 1996 H.G. Wells adaptation of The Island of Dr. Moreau, and it was a big, massive passion project for him. But unfortunately, just a few days into filming, he was fired from the film. And of course, the film, which ended up getting directed by John Frankenheimer in the end, ended up being one of the big critical and financial disasters of that year. But if you want to know the whole story behind Richard Stanley trying to make The Island of Dr. Moreau, and also what and how the film sort of turned out into be as it is, and how he got fired off the film, there is a documentary that explores it called Lost Souls. So check that one out if you're interested. So even though Richard Stanley has been busy in between, like, I guess if you want to say, Since he briefly worked on The Island of Dr. Moreau with doing documentaries and even directing segments for a horror anthology, he hasn't really made a feature-length film since, 1992 with Dust Devil. So when it was announced that Color Out of Space was getting made and he was going to co-write and direct the film, this definitely made me very interested to check it out, because Richard Stanley, this is like his first work in 18 years. Like, I mean, does he still have it? Can he make this story, which has been adapted quite a number of times in the past, probably most notably in the 1987 horror film The Curse, can he make it like update Lovecraft's story to the modern age? And also make something unique out of it, even though this is a story that's been done before. And I gotta say, he absolutely succeeded. And I've already seen the film twice now. I first saw the film at the 2019 Melbourne Monster Fest. And which kind of blew me away the first time I watched it. And it was without a doubt my favorite film that I saw at the film festival that year. And now, having rewatched it again in preparation for this audio review, I just loved it just as much the second time around. And it's kind of hard to describe because even though I haven't read the original short story that this film is based on, I was just absolutely captivated by it from beginning to end. And one of those main reasons, of course, is that the film features one of my favorite actors, Nicolas Cage. And this is, and as you would expect, Nicolas Cage is just absolutely fantastic in this film. And it is a very batshit insane performance from him, even more so than anything else he's been in recently. Because I can definitely see some people being kind of rubbed the wrong way by his performance, because, like, for most part, he's playing like this really likable and lovable dad who really cares about his family. But then, as the sort of the story goes along, and then once the meteorite crashes in his family's farm, and the color from it starts to infect both the family and also the environment around them, you can definitely see Nicolas Cage's character Nathan just start to descend into madness as he is being taken over by this extraterrestrial entity. And it is quite a sight to behold with his performance, because if you ever seen his film that he made back in the 80s, Vampire's Kiss, the way that which is without a doubt one of the most insane performances that he's ever created. At times, he replicates that performance once again with his performance as Nathan, because, like I said, he plays him as a pretty normal, average character, but there are moments where he actually goes into that performance from Vampire's Kiss, even going into the exact same voice as well. Like, it does feel very weird at first, but there's an actual point to it, as the film sort of explains. And the voice that he uses when he becomes more and more insane is a reflection of the character's sort of like relationship with his dad. Because when he talks about his dad, he uses this really weird nasally voice as to describe what his dad sounded like. So as the film kind of progresses along and he starts to go more insane, he starts, in a way, I guess, acting like his dad and using that voice as well. So I can definitely, like, but that being said, I can understand some people kind of being very weirded out by his performance, and he is very, and when he does go insane, he does go very over the top and full of Cage rage, but it's still a captivating performance nonetheless. But he's also well anchored by a great supporting cast who are just all deliver really strong work in this in their roles. Jolie Richardson, who plays his wife Teresa, is absolutely great, and she grounds the film with her beautiful performance. And but at the same time, we get to see her character's descent into madness as well, and how the events of the story start to affect her. And believe me, where the film goes with her character is both horrific and also heartbreaking as well. And she does a really good job, and she handles the material very well too. And also the young actors who play the kids, Madeline Arthur, who plays Lavinia, Brendan Meyer, who plays Benny, and Julian Hilliard, who plays Jack, are all great in their roles too. But really, of the three, it's Madeline Arthur who definitely was the standout for me. And to me, she's definitely kind of the soul of the film. And we're kind of seeing all this madness just happening through her eyes. And she just does a great job with her character and sort of conveying that with her performance. And also, Koryanka Kilcher, who of course played the role of Pocahontas in the Terrence Malick film, The New World, she pops up for a small role as well as the mayor, and I thought she was solid. And it was actually quite nice to see her in a movie again after for so long. And also, Tommy Chong, who plays this kind of hippie squatter named Ezra, I thought he was great as well. And it's And also Richard Stanley, like I kept thinking, like how, since Richard Stanley hasn't directed a feature film in so long, like how, or as particularly a narrative one, like how is he going to sort of do with this film? Since it's been, geez, like by the time this film came out at the Toronto Film Festival last year It has been like 27 years since he last directed a film. And I gotta say, he does not miss a beat. Like, even though plot-wise and the it's definitely the most straightforward of the films that he's done, but he still brings a lot of his trademark style to this film, and the tone is kind of all over the place, but somehow he's, 'cause like this is a film that kind of goes back and forth between a very sort of batshit insane dark comedy to a sort of absolutely disturbing and horrifying and just being full of melodrama and also just being absolutely chilling. Like, there's so many different tones throughout this film, and I can understand some people being very jarred by the uneven tone of the film, but somehow Stanley makes it all work and somehow makes it all consistent, because as we're watching the film, we're basically seeing this family kind of become more insane and descend into madness. And for me, the sort of all over the place tone kind of really works for the film, and that's what makes it such a memorable experience. And it's a film, like I said, it at times you're just absolutely chilled by what's happening on screen, and there are some very horrific moments throughout this film, but there are other times when you're actually laughing as well. I guess that would be debatable whether the laughs are actually deliberate or unintentional, but I feel like maybe it's kind of a good little mixture. And, Nicolas Cage's performance does provide some laughs as well, particularly how his character behaves, and especially when he goes into vampire kiss mode. But to me, the kind of the mixture, like I said, the mixture of tones and performances, like, it works. It just makes the film such a memorable experience overall. And visually, the film is just absolutely beautiful. And even though it is a lower budget film, and some of the special effects, particularly some of the CGI creations and creatures, do look a little bit hokey, but they didn't really take me out of the film too much. And the big sort of the meteor scene when it lands is beautifully done as well. And just sort of how those scenes with the media and with the constant colors from the film's extraterrestrial entity, it's just so beautiful, and it's such a beautifully vibrant film as well. It just looks gorgeous. And Steve Annis, who was the cinematographer, did a really great job in that department. And also, the music by Colin Stetson, who also was the composer of the film Hereditary, and does a really great job with his score here too. And it's a really fantastic, epic score as well, and it really just brings you more into the madness of this film. And Richard Stanley's script, which he co-wrote with Scarlett Amaris, I probably butchered the last name, so forgive me, is really well written as well. And it's just chock full of just memorable and just disturbing moments throughout. And I gotta say, I just loved every single moment of this film. I had such a great time watching it. Is it perfect? Definitely not. Like, sometimes, even though I do love the sort of very inconsistent tone of it all, sometimes it can get a little cheesy in spots. And like I said, some of the CGI effects can be a little hokey as well. And there are some aspects I kind of wish the film kind of dived in a little bit more. But for me, I thought the film, pretty much for 98% of it, just worked really, really well. And I thought it was entertaining and chilling and horrific and funny and also quite heartbreaking as well. And this film made me feel like so many different emotions as I'm watching it. And at the end of by the end of it, I was just in complete awe of it. Especially just where it goes with its story and how the sort of the story wraps itself up as well. And yeah, I just absolutely loved Color Out of Space. So if I had to give this film a rating, I know I'm probably going to get a lot of criticisms about this, but you know what? I don't care. This is just how I feel about the film. I'm going to give it 5 out of 5. And when I saw it at Monster Fest last year, I gave it 5 out of 5 on the spot, and rewatching it again in prep for this audio review, I mean, I loved it just as much as I did the first time, and it's definitely still without a doubt a 5 out of 5 for me. I just love this film so much, and this is definitely one that has a pretty good chance to be on my top 10 films of 2020 list at the end of the year. But I mean, it's still early days yet, so we'll see how the rest of the year goes. But like I said, I just absolutely love this film. It's a 5 out of 5 for me. Well, that's the end of my audio review of Color Outer Space. I hope you guys all enjoyed it. The film is currently playing in limited release across Australia, so if it is playing at a cinema near you, definitely check it out for sure. I highly recommend it. And I'll see you all later. See you, everyone. Bye.